Live from the air-conditioned comfort of the All Things Comedy Studios in beautiful Burbank.
You know, I never get tired of the theme song. I still love the theme song.
I love it.
I know you guys get tired of it, but we still kind of love it.
Hawaii Five-0 had the same theme song for 12 seasons.
Yeah, they didn't change.
Yeah, Star Trek was the same in syndication, so that's what we're going to stick with. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. Welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds podcast. We got a lot of movies we're going to talk about today, including The Circle, Boss Baby, Sandy Wexler, and this episode is brought to you by HelloFresh.
Oh, shit.
HelloFresh.com. We'll be talking about a little later as well. But we got some announcements to make, for
sure. We got some big announcements to make. First of all, I know we're getting a lot of new listeners. For those of you just joining us, this is a movie review podcast. We talk about films that just came out the past weekend. We have our funny comedy friends on to there give us their opinions, and we make fun of some stuff. And we give you some information.
Yes, we also drop a little knowledge on you too.
Yeah, yeah, and some fine sponsors.
Yes,
coupon codes. What's our big announcement?
Our big announcement is the Patreon. We're working on actually adding a little more content now. You're getting a bit of a social media bump into the Patreon.
So what we started doing. So all of you guys that gave money in April, you were just charged May 1st, and so all the rewards are starting to go out. One of the rewards at the $2 and up level is you get access to Patreon-only posts, and we just started doing that. So there's one that came out, I think, yesterday that Daniel, our social media guy, did, and we'll talk about it a little later on.
Mm-hmm.
The polls you get to vote on, and also we've said at the $5 level, you're going to get bonus audio content. We started releasing that last week.
Yep. You get a movie recommendation every week from either the guest or Graham or myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the $10 level, this is where we like everyone to be. This is where you get all of the bonus content. You're going to get the posts. You're going to get to be able to vote in the polls. You're going to get the movie recommendations. And also you're going to get an extra episode.
Yeah. And it's probably going to – we're going to try to get it like – we want to work towards getting an extra episode a week if we can.
Yeah.
At least two or three a month.
Yeah, that's what we're working towards. That's definitely in the goals. Right now it's the monthly, weekly film news.
Mm-hmm.
Neil goes over the news of pretty much the last couple weeks in movie news. And we did our first one, and it was a great episode. It was really cool. Fun.
He goes into a lot of stuff we didn't know.
Right. So you're getting reactions from us, too, going, really?
Yeah. Did the studio really make that decision?
Yeah,
they did. They do a lot of dumb things. And we're also going to do the themed episodes and all that stuff. Is going to be at the $10 and up level.
So right now the $10 and up level is one bonus episode per month, but we're hoping to also to increase that, like Graham was saying.
Yeah, and then we go up to at the $50 level, you can – it's basically like a quick ad read. Just tell us the name of your company. We'll say, you know, joesmith.com sells shoes.
You get your name and your URL,
and
that's not once a month. We'll do that every episode.
Every episode. That's at the $50
level. So that's the $50 ad Patreon tier.
And then we've been starting to put the clips of the show on the YouTube channel, which has been cool.
Mm-hmm.
And your name is listed in the credits there.
Yep.
And
$5 and up.
$5 and up. Frank Pulaski's been helping us with that. So
and that'll become more consistent too as more money comes in.
Mahalo and aloha to Frank.
You guys are partners.
You
know, the more people that contribute to the Patreon, the more money we have to actually create more content and do all these things for you.
Aaron just gave me this signal to get closer to the mic. He just started patting his lips at first, and I was like, it's weird.
Was it unclear? That was a weird signal.
And it was like, is he tired? Like
he's going to send up smoke signals?
What was the...
How long has it been since your last TV production class? Close to the mic.
20-some years, actually, when we shot stuff on...
Well, they didn't have microphones.
No. Like that. We had a can of string.
Yes.
That's what we had at the University of Arizona. Bear down.
Let's introduce
our guest.
Let's do it. Is it first-time guest?
First-time guest.
Mm-hmm.
Known this gentleman for a long time. We were just talking about a fantastic gig we did in Oahu many years back. He has his own podcast, I believe, that he records here at the All Things Comedy Studio. And he's a huge fan of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Byrne.
By the way, this is not the first time. I've been here before, but I've never been on. I just come in sometimes and hang out, and I listen, and I curl up in a corner. I have my whoopee, and I get a warm milk, and I just want to see it live in person. But this is the first time on the mic, so you guys haven't seen me before. But it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So that's who that creep was hiding in the corner.
Yeah, that's right.
So So, you know, okay, well, not in the whoopee corner.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome to the mic, Steve. What have you been up to? What's been going on?
Nothing much. Just traveling a ton. Starting from scratch again. I just had my new hour special come out on Showtime called Tell the Damn Joke.
Nice.
So that premiered the 7th of April. So now I have a blank notebook, and I'm scared as shit.
Good for you, dude. That's bold. That's a ballsy move to just, I applaud so many comics that will then start from scratch. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's how you have to do it, right? I mean, there's no pussyfooting around. If you want the new hour, then you
got to write a new hour.
That's how you do it, yeah. So. And I'm actually directing a documentary on The Amazing Jonathan. You guys might remember him. Yeah, so we're really close to finishing it up. We're going to go interview Penn Jillette.
What's a documentary? They don't take that long.
Yeah,
they're
exactly,
quick.
Yeah.
Just film them, boom, slap them together.
Did you start it 8 years ago?
No. Nobody got murdered. Yeah. We're not solving any murders. But Jonathan, great, you know, staple on Comedy Central in the late 90s, Vegas headliner for many years, was given a terminal heart condition 3 years ago, and he was told he had a year to live. So he's outlived expectations and decided to hit the road again. And I said, somebody should make a doc about that. And then the more I started talking to him and his old road manager, Joel Osborne, the more I thought, well, fuck it, I'll just do it. So I just got some cameras. And we went and filmed his return shows and, went through his storied career. And he's a very complicated human being with some demons, but also some unicorns in his life. So he's a great guy, and we're looking forward to getting
it
out.
Are you self-financing this, or how are you just...
Yeah, just self-financing. I started work with the folks at Lightbox that did Searching for Sugar Man and
that's a great documentary.
Man on Wire.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So they did those docs, and I did a doc for them called China Hustle, which is coming out this year. They asked... They were looking around, knocking on doors, seeing if a comedian would go out and write some material for them, and for some reason my name had come up a few times, and I was just like, this is not my scene. But then I was like, well, it's an immense challenge to write jokes about China shorting the U.S. economy. Not in my wheelhouse, but I was like, fuck it, I'll just go for it. And we did it. We filmed it a few months ago, and it'll be coming out this year as well.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's, there's no journey like making a documentary film.
No.
Yeah.
Like... We're still on ours.
still
not quite finished yet.
Earbuds, the podcasting documentary, available at comedyfilmnerds.com, guys.
We were still filling out E&O insurance forms this morning.
Absolutely.
So let's get into it. Let's talk about the Circle.
Okay, so The Circle...
First of all, Tom Hanks movie.
Tom Hanks movie. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
America's Julia Roberts.
Yes.
Hashtag America's Julia Roberts. I'm going to write that right now. This movie is,
from the director of The Spectacular Now, which is a great movie.
That's a fantastic movie. The End of the Tour is a really good movie. Those are two good films. And James Ponsoldt, it had an $18 million budget. And so the basic, if you haven't seen the trailer, it's Tom Hanks is running this sort of mega...
He's a nice guy.
He's a tech entrepreneur.
Comes out in the trailer. He seems like a really good dude.
Really good dude. Okay. But, Steve, wait a minute now.
Like you'd want to know him. Like you'd want to hang out with him.
Yeah.
But mainly buy product from him.
Yeah. He seems a good guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Give me your info.
he runs a company that's basically, if you combine like Facebook and Apple, it's a mega corp tech company that, you know, does social media and everything. And as you see in the trailer, they want to get all of your information. So this movie was trying to make this profound social commentary on, is being on camera 24/7, does that make you a better person? Like, doesn't that seem like an interesting debate, right? Or discussion, like, oh God, there's no privacy, but when I know I'm being videotaped, I act better and nicer, and it makes me a better person, and it can help solve crime and all this stuff. That sounds like a really cool premise. And is Tom Hanks the good guy that was doing this for noble reasons, or is he an evil businessman with a sinister thing, and Patton Oswalt is his henchman? The only compelling...
Is this Mystery Science Theater remake? Is that...
By the way, when Patton's your henchman...
Yes.
It's like, how intimidating is this corporation?
Yeah, I guess they're not that mean. The only compelling scenes are with Tom Hanks because he's Tom Hanks and he's just that good of an actor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the first So the movie starts out, Emma Watson has got just a crappy, you know, a phone bank job, and a friend of hers gets her an interview at the Circle. So mm-hmm. she gets to go on the Circle. And when she first comes on the campus, I thought it was a parody of a tech campus.
Right.
Like, they were showing, like, oh, there's dogs and yoga. Yeah, and it was like, yeah. Literally, I thought it was like an Adam Sandler type parody over the top of what a tech...
That Google intern movie.
Oh, my God. And then all of the people that work there, they're trying to show that they're sort of like zealots for this company. And,
right.
And they're all drinking the Kool-Aid and you know, doing the corporate speak. And the Circle is the best, and it's double plus good and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But they're these fake two-dimensional characters that are ridiculous. Right. Like, people were laughing in the theater.
Was the logo of a Circle conspicuously looked like a piece of fruit with a bite out of it?
What do you mean, Chris? Like a pear or a tangelo? Yeah, it was that kind of stuff. And just preposterous things happen story-wise.
Was it at all like The Firm, where it was like this, oh, there's more layers of like under, you know, of like the underbelly of this corporation where it gets more sinister and more sinister? And is there a slide like in the Star Chamber?
Well, the two movies you mentioned are interesting movies to watch. And those layers are connected and they make sense.
Right.
This movie just introduces things that make no sense. Mm-hmm. And
like an app update.
Like exactly. That doesn't work.
Yes.
That crashes and you have to wait for the next one.
Okay, I get it now. I got it.
I got to say, I saw the trailer. I was not that intrigued. Mm-hmm. It seemed like something I probably would have seen if I read about it.
Right.
It'd be like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. And then I saw the trailer and I wasn't motivated to go and spend. And I love Tom Hanks. And I love Emma Watson.
Right.
By the way, she's Britain's Tom Hanks. I don't know if you've heard that, but that's what she's known as
over
there.
It is true. Yeah.
But like, okay, so John, if I'm saying it right, Boyega, who was in A Force Awakens.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The black guy.
He's the black guy.
Yeah.
He's introduced as someone, and you're like, oh, this could be intriguing. And then he sort of introduces, and then out of nowhere, just wildly introduces like the cover up and the scandal and the be careful. And then we never really hear from him again.
Right.
You know, like it's just shit like that.
A few scenes were missing.
Yeah. And then all these contrived things to further this ridiculous plot. And then like Tom Hanks is not even in the movie that much.
I was just going to say that this sounds like this Tom Hanks is like, look, we'll get Tom Hanks, we'll shoot him in and out in like 4 days. And then we'll just make the movie around his cameos.
Yeah, he said, I'm getting a million of this 18 million for my 4 days of shooting.
Right.
Put him in the trailers and that's, yeah.
Yeah, and this will help sell it and I'm going to take off. Like on paper, it would, right? This director's pedigree, Emma Watson, Tom Hanks, an interesting story. You think this could be great, but.
Some moral ambiguity.
Moral ambiguity. It's a sad thing that it's Bill Paxton. Bill Paxton's actually good in it. He plays
He's
Emma
great
Watson's
in everything,
dad.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, truly great in everything.
And it was his last film, and so I was just like, oh, man. It's like when John Candy did Wagons East. Mm-hmm. That was his last movie.
We just talked about it last week on the Patreon. It was Transformers, the animated movie, was Orson Welles' last film.
No.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, right? Orson.
Rosebud. Mm-hmm. But he was also doing wine ads at the time, so things were. He was on kind of a. Orson was in a.
The Transformers animated movie was his last.
Yeah, he played Unicron, the planet eating Transformer.
Oh, poor Orson Welles. Which sounds like a slam against Orson Welles' weight problem. Yeah. That's what it sounds like. They were really going after him hard or something. So yeah, this movie. And then I've checked it. It's like it got 18% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And you were saying that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, The Circle. I said that's. Yeah, it's one for each one of the millions that they spent on this.
All right. Oh,
yeah.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah, in the trailer, it looked like Johnny Boyega. Is that how you say
yeah.
it? Yeah. It looked like he would be like the love interest.
Right.
That's what I assumed in seeing it, and I thought,
Wouldn't that be neat? Wouldn't that be intriguing? And then, I don't know. It's you know, Tom Hanks, he does Sully, which I really liked. I mean, he does those movies, Inferno. I know you're not a fan of those movies, but I find them entertaining. But then it's like a
really
hologram
all of them?
For the king, and they're entertaining. Or we just did a special thing. We talked about why you like the Transformers animated movie from the 80s.
All right. I'm just checking.
But then there's all these like, you know.
By the way, he grew his hair out like a hockey hair, like a hockey mullet for the first one, right?
Yes.
Da Vinci Code.
Da Vinci Code, yeah. Mm-hmm. He got a lot of shit for like having like.
More hair.
Like more hair, yeah.
For looking like a Canadian.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Tank's always, he'll do a cool thing. He'll do Bridge of Spies, and then he'll do this, these other movies like that.
You know, on paper, when he signed on for this, it might have looked really cool. And then what happened is not what was what he thought.
I recently saw Road to Perdition.
That's a
great
movie.
I went back and watched it. What a great, I mean, just, ugh. He's so good in that movie.
That's the scenes between him and Paul Newman.
Yeah.
When Paul Newman goes, there's only murderers in this room. You're just like, oh. And how Tom Hanks just, he's so stone-faced and cold. And it's so.
So not him.
So not him.
So out of his element. But you still like him.
Yeah, you still like him. And you believe him.
Last week before The Circle came out, we put on the Patreon, we put a poll of like, we picked 10 of your favorite Tom Hanks movies. And I was hoping Road to Perdition was going to get more votes, but it didn't. Yeah. I think it's a fantastic film.
Great movie, yeah.
So don't go to The Circle. Go watch Road to Perdition.
Yeah. But time better spent.
Time better spent.
So now, Steve, you saw Boss Baby.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how old are your kids?
My daughter's 5. Uh-huh. My son is 1.5 years.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say one's 30.
Yeah.
But we actually had the book and read the book and all that stuff. And, yeah, it was I got to say, I saw the movie thinking, okay, it's another, you know, you go in, you kind of check out. Like, we saw Trolls, and Trolls was just like, let's just jam a song in here and have them dance and sing. And it's just horrible. But, you know, the kids love it. But this movie was actually really entertaining. I really enjoyed Boss Baby. I thought it was watchable for parents. I thought Alec Baldwin was great. There's some lines in there that, you know, it's his inflection that sold, that made jokes out of non-jokes, is what I would say. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you got your typical, like, let's show his ass and, you know, he farted. And there's those jokes, which is in all of them. But there were some really great kind of clever pieces in it. I really enjoyed Boss Baby. I would, as soon as I came home, I was telling my wife, I was like, you got to see this movie. It was really fun.
Nice.
Yeah. Get back in the car, take her again. She'll go see it in 2 weeks.
How did your 5-year-old like it?
Loved it.
Loved
she
it.
Loved it. And then she comes home and she calls our son Boss Baby and, you know, was quoting lines and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, she definitely digs it. My daughter's a huge, huge movie. She loves movies. And it was funny. We were flying yesterday from Hawaii and I was going through my computer. She memorizes the scroll of Star Wars films. So I was showing her something a year ago. She'd done it at 4. I think I read it to her 3 times maybe. Return of the Jedi. She knew the whole thing. With inflection, by the way.
Wow.
It's like stunning. Yeah. It's
truly
amazing.
She's some sort of Star Wars savant.
Love Star Wars. I have one of the best pictures. It's framed in our house, is of her at the Cheesecake Factory. And she's got her hands out and her eyes are closed. And she's like trying so hard. And I was, and then she just gave up. I go, what are you trying to do? She's like, I'm trying to use the force on my food. She was trying to lift her food up using the force. I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Wow,
this is like
awesome.
The coolest girl ever.
Let's make sure she doesn't go to the dark side, because then
you and your
wife are in trouble.
Yeah, I think that happens at 13.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
With all children.
And it's cheesecake everywhere.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this. Is there a movie, like a kid's movie, that you took that your daughter just did not like? Just tuned out?
I have to say it hasn't happened yet. I was apprehensive to show her Rogue One. So I didn't, because I saw it in the theater. And I was like, wow, it's fucking great. But it's, you know, it's
intense.
Pretty violent. It's pretty intense.
5's young, for sure.
And then I saw it on TV and I was like, I think the aesthetics of not being in a theater, hearing it with the speakers and, you know, on TV, it just seemed to lessen the impact a bit more. Mm-hmm. So I showed her Rogue One at home and she loved it. Absolutely loved it. And we went to Disney and she was, you know, oh, there's K2SO. And I was like, she got on board right away. So I think Star Wars is fine. And that's usually, I think, the threshold, I think, for some of these in terms of like violence or violent images.
It's a very calculated thing for Disney, especially with, you know, Avengers movies and Star Wars and stuff. I think the median age that they is like 8-ish around there, where some kids can handle more than others, obviously, when you know your kid.
Yeah.
They can handle more. Like, is like my daughter.
How old is she?
She's 12, and my son is 8.
Yeah.
And, you know, they both love the Star Wars movies. But, you know, the thresholds were different for them. Like, my daughter couldn't handle the violence earlier the way my son could.
Right.
Because, like, she actually would get upset if, like, there, you know, Godzilla, if people were dying on screen. Whereas a boy, a kid, no, more violence. They want to see
boys are
things.
Evil.
Yeah, more things blow up, you know, earlier. There's...
He can only fall asleep to The Godfather.
Right, exactly.
Like the James Caan toll booth scene. Put that on, Daddy. I want to get sleepies. Yeah.
he just turns to his sister. I'm smart. Yeah. I can do things. Yeah. That's what my people say.
So I really think, too, like now with Disney owning all of these properties and franchises, it's like it's a very calculated thing. We don't want to make him too violent that, you know, we age out of this age group. But we also don't want to make him too boring where, you know, we're not getting them and their adults, you know, and their parents and everything.
It's a
fine line, but I think they're hitting it for sure.
They definitely are. Mm-hmm. They definitely hit the sweet spot, especially Force Awakens. If you compare Force Awakens and Rogue One, there is just a more, I wouldn't say neutered, but a more safe approach, I think, to some of the set pieces, especially the last 30 minutes. But
right.
Again, the great thing about Star Wars is you leave there knowing all their names.
Right.
And I remember we went to Disneyland after Force Awakens came out, and my daughter had just seen it once at the time. And so she was scared as shit of Kylo Ren. And we're waiting in line to go meet, like, Chewbacca.
Right.
And then I go, and we next door we can go meet Kylo Ren. She goes, I do not like the black guy. And everybody in line just turn around. They're like, "What the?" You know, and it's just like, and then thank God she goes in the mask. I was like, "There she is." Thank you. Not a racist. So one of those challenges. I do not like the black guy. 1, 2, 3. In the mask. Yes. There's my girl. Yeah. Thank you. Oh,
you should have just gone. That's my girl before she's in the mask. Yeah. Woo, Trump 16.
Because that's the place too at Disneyland. They have these areas where they're like autograph areas where you wait in line and you can either meet Chewbacca or Kylo Ren, and then you know they'll sign the autograph book for the kids and take pictures.
Boba Fett.
And Boba Fett. Yes. There's a. But it's like all back near Space Mountain where you're not even really sure it's there. It's in this weird spot in Disneyland. And it's also one of those places that's never crowded because people don't know it's there.
Right? Yeah.
So you can go in. They have a recreation of the canteen from like Mos Eisley. It's a really cool thing. They've got like some documentaries playing from J.J. Abrams. So if you are in Disneyland, it's a cool place to check out if you're a Star Wars fan.
Yeah. And the great thing is seeing all the kids dress up. My daughter goes as Rey every time we go.
Oh,
and
wow.
So when the First Order stormtroopers come walking through it, they always stop because all the kids want their pictures with them. But these stormtroopers keep walking through. They're just there for presents.
Right.
And they've always stopped to take a picture with her. It's pretty badass.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, Disney knows what it's doing when it comes
to
that.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, let me just get back to Boss Baby real quick.
Sorry, let's talk about The Circle.
Yes.
Fantastic. It's a great
movie. Talking about this.
So Boss Baby had a $125 million budget. And
for an animated film?
For an animated film.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So that's the estimated budget. Now, it's done over like $150 million gross since it came out, I think, March 31st. Let me ask you this. Both of you guys that go to a lot of these movies because you have kids, I mean— And specifically, Steve, with Boss Baby, was that justified or was that just like big voice paydays or were like?
I think, look, I don't know what they're doing differently in terms of animation where I couldn't tell you the difference between a $50 million animated film and a $125 million animated film. I will say this, aesthetically, it was gorgeous. There were some set pieces in there where the older brother's dreaming and he's using his imagination like with pirates or whatever. I saw like different color patterns and color schemes I've never seen in an animated film
before.
A lot
of render time.
Yeah. You know, like when you see the Suicide Squad, you know, the marketing campaign and the logo at the end with like this pink neon and light green. It was that's fucking cool. I've never seen that before. Like that's how I felt watching certain set pieces with Boss Baby where just it looked gorgeous. Like the last time I saw Moana, I thought, wow, this is a beautiful looking film. Mm-hmm. I felt that way with Boss Baby, which is weird because you wouldn't think that the landscape opposite of Hawaii and Moana would lend itself to this. But
Zootopia
it's
did that too. With the landscapes were, you could tell there was a lot of creativity that went into it. Now, that's interesting. Boss Baby is going to get the best review of the three movies that we're going to talk about today.
Oh, wow.
That's fantastic.
I saw Sandy Wexler. Now, I wanted to see this movie because as a film podcast, we've been ignoring some of the streaming movies that have come on. And these are big deals. These are movies that normally would be out in the movie theaters with giant billboards and campaigns behind them. But Netflix is changing the rules. However, they're not making the movies better.
But honestly, though, the thing is, and it's why it is important for you, one of us, to see it and talk about it, is because they are changing the rules.
It took me 3 days to get through it, by the way.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I couldn't watch. I had to.
Every time, the two times you hit resume playing, like, here we go.
How much longer?
Here we go.
You look at the Adam Sandler comedy, you think, well, it's 89 minutes or something. No, this movie is 2 hours and 11
Sandy
minutes
Wexler's
long.
Sandy Wexler's 2 hours?
2 hours and 11 minutes long.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's like this weird epic Hollywood story. I mean, the only way I could describe it is if Adam Sandler made Broadway Danny Rose, and that's what this movie was.
Star Smile Strong.
Yes.
but worse, right?
Oh my God. Oh. Yeah. Horrifyingly incompetently made.
Let me just say this though. Why it's important that you did see this is. I didn't have to. That's the first thing.
You're welcome.
No, but so you pass the baton from the circle to Chris. He's like, all right, I'll take it over from here.
Flip a coin on which bag of shit you got to watch.
But no, we do that sometimes.
It is relevant, and we can't not acknowledge these movies, because what is significant here is the first one of these Sandler films that came out a couple years ago, the Hateful Eight, his joke on that one.
Right.
The Cobbler is one of them in there.
Ridiculous Six. Uh-huh. So when that came out in 2015, I was told it crashed Netflix. So many people wanted to see it. And then he's done the do-over in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so his movies are the most streamed anything on Netflix.
Yeah, I don't think Netflix has buyer's remorse because of the amount of eyeballs that they're getting from these films, regardless of the quality.
Well, it makes sense because, look, the majority of Sandler's movies in the 90s in the old model, like even Little Nicky, tanked at the box office, mm-hmm. but it made a bunch of money overseas and a bunch of money back then in DVD.
And it was also one of the failures of their films of Happy Madison, because it had such a much higher budget. Like they were used to having these Rob Schneider movies or Joe Dirt or whatever.
$15 million budgets,
$10 million, $15 million. And then like, this movie only made $5, $10 million in its opening weekend. They're like, well, who cares? We got our money back.
I think the thing what Netflix tapped into here with these is they realized, looking at his video sales, his global video sales always were amazing.
Right.
And so that's why you're like, why do they keep making this? Oh, it was out of the theaters in 2 weeks. So what they did though is, you went and you didn't go to the theater to see these. You'd go to the video store and get stoned and watch his movies.
Yes.
Now you do that on Netflix.
Yeah. Well, you know, and this movie was such an interesting mess because
it seemed like it wanted to be sweet. It wanted to be funny.
It really had this air of like, well, this is Adam Sandler trying to kind of have an air of authenticity, because it's based on his manager of many, many years,
right?
Of Sandy Wernick. So you really had this kind of shoehorned in, kind of like poignant feel to it,
right?
But it didn't work at all because it's Adam Sandler doing this really weird, goofy, you know, Jerry Lewis voice. And every scene he's in makes it weaker and weaker and weaker as the film progresses, because there's 100 cameos in it.
Yeah.
Judd Apatow, Colin Quinn, Weird Al Yankovic. I mean, there's all these cameos. And there was a couple of nostalgic parts for it, especially, too, because it's set in the 90s and part of the comedy scene.
You saw the improv,
you saw Bud, and we're like, you know, this is kind of when we were at the improv in the 90s. And it had that little bit of authenticity to it that most Adam Sandler films don't have. So I'm looking at this movie and I'm watching it and I'm like, this is like an attempt to try to add like a little just reality into this film, but it fails so horribly on so many different levels. And then also there's like no jokes in it. There's a couple funny jokes in it, but again, 2 hours and 12 minutes long. It's a long time to wait between jokes. And you know, Kevin James is in it as a ventriloquist. You know, there's an Adam Sandler formula that Jay Leno also does is where, okay, whatever the obvious joke is, whatever the first joke that comes in your head, that's what we're going to go with. There's not that, hey, here's what the setup is. Let's try to figure out a different way to approach this joke, this scene. There's none of that in any Adam Sandler movie ever. And this movie is no exception. And this is the type of movie that deserved that. And it could have made it a little bit more interesting or more just even just more coherent. And then, but then the most glaring aspect of what went wrong was this weird chemistry between Jennifer Hudson and Adam Sandler. That was the love interest. Jennifer Hudson and Adam Sandler. Just think about that for a second.
I don't.
And if I don't know if there's a mathematical formula of chemistry, but this would be absolute zero. It was she's trying her best to act like she would really be falling in love with Adam Sandler, and this weird voice and how he's like always lying to clients, and it fell completely flat.
It's such a shame because, you know, you grow up, like most of us, we're all probably the same age, and Sandler was the shit.
Yeah.
Could do no wrong.
And now it's almost like he's doing these Ernest Goes to Camp movies where it's just like, just pumping him out, doesn't care, show up to promote stuff in sweatpants. It's like, dude, could you just give a shit a little bit? Because I'll be back on board, but it's just like, he's just phoning it in.
That's really what it feels like.
I'm so bummed.
And this is the one time where the opportunity was there to do something better.
Like, but he always makes the same mistake.
Yeah.
First of all, Steve, you make a great point. So many of his movies, I feel like, are first drafts. Mm-hmm. It's like what you said, Chris. There's the obvious joke. They don't sit there and go, here's a funny premise, let's make it better.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you know, if you've ever had a writing gig, if there's a good producer, showrunner, whatever, they go, give me more on this.
Yeah. Right.
Give me more on this. And so
think of it in a different way.
And the other thing, when he tries to go serious, he can't. The only time he's been able to do it is in Punch Drunk Love when Paul Thomas Anderson
sat on him.
Forced him.
Right? Yeah.
Forced him to do it. And it's like you see his talent and ability. He is funny.
Genuinely, yeah, absolutely.
He's a genuinely funny guy. He's a nice guy. And you look at, I remember when Punch Drunk Love came out, which was 15 years ago, and I was like, oh, yes, more of this.
Yeah.
More of this.
And you never saw it.
It's like Burt Reynolds. Yeah. Like, literally, Burt Reynolds did Deliverance and The Longest Yard, and then fucking Stroker Ace and Smoking the Bandit 9, and just, you know, like.
I mean, you know, no one can accuse Adam Sandler of making great movies, but they hit a mark for sure, and they were, you know, massively successful at one after the other.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter. They were reviewer proof. But now, like you said, these really feel like you're not only are you phoning it in, but here was an opportunity to make something a little bit more real, a little bit more poignant, and you have all these great cameos, Judd Apatow and all these other people are in this movie. And you just waste this opportunity to do
like
phoned
Steve
in
said,
bullshit.
We would all jump back on board
completely if he had a great. Oh, right. I mean, I'd this love was to see one that was great, but I haven't heard anybody go, "You got to see this new stuff."
No.
I'd be like, "Yeah, I want to."
This movie,
I want to.
It felt like the first draft. It was 30% towards a good movie. Like Man. it was like if it was just completely retooled and redone and just thought about in a different way, it could have been interesting.
You almost wondered, does he hate his manager?
Yeah. Like, it really felt that way. I'm like, well, now you're just kind of making fun, and not even in an interesting way. Like, you know, we've already seen Broadway Danny Rose, and it's a classic. It's if you're going to make that movie, you can't make a worse version of it.
Right. Yeah,
and that's what happened.
Yeah, that's so too bad.
So there, I took one for the team.
And it took
a long time.
2 hours, 11 minutes.
3-day journey.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Hello good Fresh. Folks at HelloFresh.
Yeah. Now, here's what's exciting about them. They are actually lowering their prices.
No.
Yes.
It already was so affordable, Chris.
I know. Now they're less than $10 a meal.
Oh, my God.
Less than $10 a meal because, you know, there's a lot of competition coming on the market.
It is.
But, you know, you want to stick with HelloFresh. They do veggie boxes, classic boxes. You can order 3, 4, 5 different meals per week designed for either 2 or 4 people, and there are new recipes every week.
Well, that's the thing I love about these guys is as I've said before, I don't—
You're still using them.
I still use them. Mm-hmm. I don't have the patience to go, like, handpick parsley and whatever.
No.
Like, I'm not going to get that. But they send you all the ingredients.
We're not cavemen. No. What, are we going to pick out our own produce?
What am I, a sommelier? I mean, come on. Like, somewhere between a caveman and a pretentious dick is HelloFresh.
Yeah. You got to find that sweet spot.
So they send it all to you, and it's easy because, and if you showed me the ingredients and what was required, maybe I might go, oh, I can't do this, too easy. They make it so easy. The meals cook about 30, 40 minutes.
Right.
And super healthy and, like, better than I could ever do.
Yeah, and it's also... the kids like it too. Like, mm-hmm. They have the family box is a little more family friendly where there's less spice and stuff like that. So, it's a good choice because our kids picky eaters. You know, a lot of kids are. The other thing I like about HelloFresh is you could stop at any time. Like, oh, you're going on vacation, or you're off this week. You know, it's spring break or whatever.
You got to get through Sandy Wexler.
You got to get through Sandy Wexler. Yeah, I got to stockpile supplies to get through this movie. And you can say, all right, just. No HelloFresh this week, or no HelloFresh next week, and then you can just resume when you're ready.
Because you can't have food in your stomach when you watch Sandy Wexler.
No, you can't. It makes it harder. but we're not going to make you guys pay full price. That would be crazy.
Come on. What are we, dicks?
Why don't we do $30 off the first week of HelloFresh? Go to HelloFresh.com and use the coupon code ComedyFilmNerds30. We wanted to make it as long as possible.
Comedy Film Nerds 30.
Comedy Film Nerds 30.
That's how old Chris and I are. We're 30 years old.
HelloFresh.com.
We started doing stand-up when we were 3.
Yes. Like Boss Baby. So do it. Comedy Film Nerds 30.
Let's talk about a couple of trailers we all watched.
Oh, my God. 47 meters down. This trailer about being stuck in a shark tank. With these giant CG sharks that don't even look real, looked hilarious to me.
Yeah, it's what did you say, Steve, about Liam Neeson's daughter?
Liam Neeson's daughter just needs to stay home.
Yeah.
She should not leave the home.
Yeah, she's always
in trouble,
taken by something or someone,
or a shark or something bad.
Let me go visit this cave in Afghanistan. Yeah. Why?
No.
Don't do that.
Yeah. And 47 meters down.
Riding a bicycle through a minefield seems fun. Yeah. No, it's not.
It's like, oh, this seems, and this is really what it is. It's that typical trope of let's do something absolutely ridiculous. What could go wrong? And it's a shark tank.
But why is the cable, who wouldn't check the cable?
Right.
The cable is tethering and springing and just That's the first thing you would check, right? Do a safety check before you board the boat. It's and then, of course, you see ting, 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 bing.
Maybe it should have.
You'd see one tether and go, nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's some horrible, when you actually watch them, I'm sure there's some horrible exposition dialogue of hey, Jimmy, you're going to fix that cable? It'll be fine. I don't have the money yet.
I'll get to it later.
Yeah, as soon as we get through these two rich Americans, we'll be.
This is Matthew Modine's The Circle. So, he was in and out in 2 days. All right, give him a couple.
No, I think it was more than that. I think he went. They're shooting this in the Caribbean. Can I bring my family? You guys got a house for me?
All right, I'll throw us a bunch of kids to the sharks.
Yeah.
So this movie is it's all one location underwater with a bunch of CG sharks, but they look so fake and so ridiculous. I really feel like now I'm going out on a limb on this. I really feel like that. This is going to be one of those self-aware horror comedies where it looks so ridiculous that they're in on the joke for it. If it's not and it's treated seriously, it's a complete swing and a miss.
I'm wondering because they show you everyone who's going to die in the movie in the trailer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because they do that quick cut horror thing where the shark is
about to chomp.
How many near misses were there, by the way? Yeah. There's at least 8.
There's only 2 people in the cage.
And there's 2 hot girls at the beginning, and 2 dudes on vacation, you girls got to try something different. They're like, yeah, and they all do shots. I thought the next scene was going to be them having anal.
Right.
But it's doing something different is getting in a cage and hang with sharks. It's the minute you see that fin come out of the water, it's fuck this. Who would want to do that?
Giant fin.
Yeah.
And literally the fin of a 40-foot shark.
Oh, yeah, and you guys just dress in these seal suits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, wear a chum mask and get yourself to...
We're on our period. Is that bad? Get in the water. Get in the water.
These flippers are made from salmon. All right. Yeah. So it's just it makes... I hope, Chris, you're right, because it is... I wonder, maybe they are so self-aware that this is the first Sharknado or something. Because... And they're the fastest, craziest sharks I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah. They're like alien sharks.
Yeah.
That's why it's so, they're not even trying to make them look like real sharks. So
the shark ate the phone.
Right. Yeah.
The shark ate the phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you guys been fishing? I've been fishing where you cast a line in where the fish are, and they will swim past the bait. They will swim past. Yeah. This shark ate a fucking phone.
Yeah. It wasn't. Okay. It wasn't even like a fish shaped phone.
No,
like in a case or something.
No. Did you get the new tuna can case for your iPhone? Yeah, this movie. I hope.
I'll go see it. Yes. Mandy Moore in a bathing suit. I'm going. Yeah.
All right.
I'll go sit.
All right.
I love her.
And Steve's got a certain specific set of skills.
Absolutely. Now, I do have a very specific set.
Now, trailers. We also have Once Upon a Time in Venice. Now, this is the new Bruce Willis Taken movie, except, or actually, it's more like a John Wick because his dog gets, instead of killed, his dog gets kidnapped.
His dog gets kidnapped, and he's got a desk with a bunch of.
Guns on it, with a flip open. We all have that flip up desk where it's like, you
this
know,
one right
like,
here at All Things Comedy. We can flip this open and there's a
there's
rocket launcher.
Just porn. Yeah.
Like,
now you're making me curious. I think it might actually do that.
Well, this movie.
Let's try something different. Yeah. Cheers. Yeah, I don't know about this flick because I love this. Seemed like a movie Bruce Willis would have done 15 years ago.
Right.
Right.
You know, it doesn't seem.
Well, the question we were all having when we were watching the trailer.
It got funny later in the trailer, like not like right away. First, it's, I think they're taking it very seriously, but now towards the end, is this a parody?
Is this movie self-aware of those? Right. Bruce Willis 90s action movie, this time it's personal. Like, is that?
I don't know.
Because, you asked a great question, Chris. Is this movie just awful and they're like, there's nothing they can do with it? Or did they screw up the trailer and they didn't cut it like a comedy? Because we've talked about this a lot on this show. Right. They so often do not know how to cut a trailer for a comedy.
Like, if this is, this looks like if it is an actual action comedy, it could be kind of fun and funny and like a good escapist John Wick-y type movie.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like a John Wick-ish or Jack Reacher that's kind of making fun of that a little
more. Of John Wick and Jack Reacher and those movies,
But it's almost like MacGruber was great at parodying everything you've ever seen in an action film. He's blowing up his friends after he assembles the team. And it's fucking one of the greatest like films about. But this, in the trailer, I never got a sense that they were self-aware.
Yeah,
I got a sense that they had jammed in a few jokes, especially at the end. And look, you look on paper again; it's a great cast,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
John Goodman's in it.
Yep.
But I don't know. It just seemed like something that if I was in a movie theater, back, I'd rent it. But I don't know that I'd go pay.
I feel like I'm going to see this on a plane.
An airplane.
Six months down the road,
I'm
going to be flying a gig and see this on a plane, and I'm going to go, "Oh, that's cool. It's in Venice. It's kind of near where I live."
Yep.
Like, oh, I know that place.
Right,
that's
after cool. I watch Earbuds and make sure the counter goes up by one for our license.
Okay, let's hope. You're assuming we're going to be on it. Get an airplane deal?
Oh, we're going to get an airplane deal. Yeah.
All right. I'll switch airlines.
Yes.
Being the one I fly on drags people off the plane. I won't name names, but that's United Airlines that I've been flying with. They're assholes.
Yeah. Oh, no. You have a lot of points with them.
I've flown over 1,000,000 miles with those guys, and I saw that footage of like, are you fucking kidding me?
Now, I wonder if you had more points, like, do you not get dragged off? Depends on how many points you have.
I'm sure that guy. What's your status? Yeah, oh, you're not a Premier Executive Gold Plus or Platinum? Well, then that's his fault.
Yeah. Fly more. You should fly. Don't get dragged off.
You fly more, they don't have to drag you off.
Exactly.
Like a savage. All right, what else we got going on?
So, we want to talk about the DVDs coming out. A Dog's Purpose. Ooh. This was one of the movies that was shrouded in controversy with the treatment of the dog on set. Didn't get a chance to see this movie. The kids definitely wanted to see it. We'll probably check it out on DVD and Blu-ray.
I never saw the video. Was it that bad?
The video's kind of bad.
Well, the problem is, too, it's like part of it's real, part of it's like a CG dog. It's kind of cut together in a weird way. So there's like all this controversy, like which part of it is real, which part isn't, why is it cut this way? And but there were statements by the producers that, some bad shit that shouldn't have happened went down on the set for sure.
Yeah, and then it just felt a little, the reaction by some of the people with regard to the film and the director felt to me, who knows, I wasn't there, but it felt to me a little bit like backpedal spin control.
Yeah.
You know, just,
There was a lot of, hey, don't blame me. There was a lot of that too. Like, hey, I was like, yeah, something went wrong, and so I'm kind of partially responsible, but there was no definitive. This happened. It was my fault. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There was none.
Right. No accountability.
Yeah.
Really.
There was like meandering accountability, if that exists.
Which is weird because America. Everyone's so accountable. Everybody, yeah. The government, corporations, that's all they do. They wake up and go, how can we be accountable and be honest and transparent to the American people? Yes. Both political parties are like that.
Well, I don't know about that.
What else? Rings.
So this is the horror movie sequel that no one saw.
Nope. So, and they probably won't see it now.
And,
The Ring was phenomenal.
Right.
Great.
Now you're talking about the Japanese one or the American remake?
With Naomi Watts.
Yes. Yes.
That one was. Right. It was like
it was terrifying too.
Any other horror film, I was like, this is a legit movie. Like it's you know, you may, like The Exorcist or The Omen. It was like this is great, and then it just that franchise took a bath and. So disheartening for me.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Did you see the original Japanese version?
No.
Check it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ringu. I think it's called. It's definitely interestingly, there's a couple of like literally shot by shot same scenes.
In them.
Yeah. Like you could tell there was a real effort to keep the spirit of the first one into the American remake.
Well, mission accomplished on that one.
Yeah. Definitely. Because it was good and creepy. Both of them were good and creepy. Gold. This
movie perplexes me so much.
Did you guys see it?
I have not seen it because it's the Matthew McConaughey film. Steven Gagan directs it. It looked like a
Oscar bait movie.
It looked like, oh, this is McConaughey. He's looking all bald and ugly and crazy, and it's based on a true story. Like those Oscar pedigree based on a true story. Good-looking A-lister make being ugly. Like,
yes,
these are all. Let's make an.
It was his monster.
It is, and it's like I mean that's how we got Dallas Buyers Club. I mean, he lost all that weight. Like this is oh man okay, and it just I think there's it, it's I don't
there
know
there's some disconnect.
There's
somewhere.
Some disconnect. Yeah. I'm so curious to see this to look at it and go,
what happened?
Did the critics just get pissy with it? They rub them the wrong way.
Is it great? Was the marketing on it wrong?
Yeah, was the marketing wrong?
Yeah,
or is
know.
It like, oh, I see.
It kind of, that sounds to me like The Founder, the Michael Keaton movie about McDonald's, where I'd read all this stuff and I thought, oh, this is going to be an award season kind of film. And then it just kind of fizzled. And I actually went to the theater and saw it, and he was phenomenal in the movie. He was so good.
Michael Keaton was good in the movie.
But I thought the movie was good, but he was great.
Yeah.
He was better than the film.
The movie definitely could have been a lot better. We had talked about this before on a couple of different episodes. It's you get saddened by like a missed opportunity where the Coen brothers were up to direct it. Imagine how great it would have been if they would have directed
it. Oh, wow, yeah.
But they were just too busy.
I'm curious. I really want to see Gold. I really want to see where it went wrong.
And then now this next movie you really enjoy. This is I Am Not Your Negro.
I Am Not Your Negro, in my opinion, was – and there was it was a very strong best documentary.
By the way, those were on his T-shirts, his first merch.
Yeah, yes. I sold a lot of those.
Tons, yeah.
And then they did better than the Palm Strikes.
Union made.
They were union made for sure. As I said, the
not cotton.
No, sir. It was a blend. This was one of the stronger docs I've seen in a while. Mm-hmm. As we said, the doc category for the Academy Awards was a very – they had a lot of really solid nominations. O.J., which ended up winning. 13th is a very good movie. But I Am Not Your Negro, I recommend everybody seeing because it is more – it's more confrontational because – and they do an excellent job of cutting in interview footage from James Baldwin and news footage from currently – of what's going on in America.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, part of it's like, oh, yeah, nothing, not much has changed.
You know, it's so funny. It's so funny. It's not funny at all. But I just seen a new doc on Showtime, like called Burn, Motherfucker, Burn, about the LA riots.
Oh, yeah.
And you hear a lot of the sentiment in the neighborhoods about the justice system. And then, you could just turn on the TV and
hear the same.
Same stuff with Black Lives Matter. It's just like, what is going on? Like, nothing has really.
Nothing.
Move forward in terms of the agenda. So it's crazy to think because I'm Not Your Negro, that took place in the 60s, right?
60s and 70s, So James Baldwin, it's all these, and they get also the director gets great interviews from like, there was a TV show that Malcolm X and Dr. King were on. So it's like you're hearing their points
Sesame
of view.
Sesame Street?
Yeah, it's sunny day. You're seeing a great thing Bobby Kennedy says, and then James Baldwin's like immediate response to it. And it's like, this movie, I think every American, regardless of your ethnicity, needs to see this film.
Yeah.
Because of what you just said. There's been very little change. So you need to go back to the history of why and look at the problems from back then and who was trying to deal with them. Part of it is there's not a lot of like leaders. They were killed. I mean, literally, and everyone needs to face this. And I don't think America doesn't like to face the truth of a lot of things. Our history. Americans, as I've said,
Netflix's deal with Adam Sandler.
No one wants to face that. They won't reveal the budget.
No. Unknown.
Unknown. But no, Americans don't want to know how the sausage is made.
Right.
And if you want to know why
we like sausage.
The unrest is still as prevalent and the inequalities are still as prevalent as they've ever been, you should watch this
check
movie.
Out the doc.
Yeah.
Now, the next two movies are Jobs. The Salesman and the Comedian.
This is a jobs board?
Yeah.
So send in your resumes, guys.
This is the Iranian movie that I definitely wanted to check out on DVD, The Salesman.
Yeah.
And
this is another Oscar pick that slipped through the cracks for me.
And the Comedian. This is the, wasn't this the Robert De Niro movie, right?
I was intrigued because I read some stuff on this, and I know Jeff Ross had written some material, or he might have written the screenplay with somebody else. I think he was partners with somebody. And I was, I love Jeff. He's one of the nicest guys you guys know. He's the sweetest. And so I saw the trailer, and the first half was great. And then, the trailer was cut in a way. It's just like, it's about him ending up with this girl. And it's like, I don't give a shit because I wanted to see the Comedian's life. I wanted to see somebody come to grips with the end of his career or the fact that he's in trouble and he's got to do that to me was the interesting aspect of the film.
And for us, it's a how-to.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But the minute I saw the girl, I'm like, I'm done. I'm not going to see this. I don't want to bother.
So, and the site spotlight and the fan feedback. Now, the weekly film news is back. You definitely want to check out what Neil has to say. And also, what he puts on the site is still different than the podcast that we do. There's a lot of new stuff we talk about only on the Patreon podcast.
Yeah, and it's the site, the article is that's written, and then we go into depth with the Patreon. But also, in terms of fan feedback, so Daniel put a photo of Hulk and Thor from the Incredible Hulk TV show with Lou Ferrigno.
From the 70s, Where they made a series of movies where there were like Marvel team-ups. There was a Daredevil one. There was a Thor one. Mm-hmm. And I think there was one more. I can't remember. There was like a third one.
Well, Spider-Man was pretty
well, there
big
was
back
the,
that they
the Black remember. Widow was in one of them too.
Right.
He falls in love with her. Yeah.
That's right. So Daniel puts his photo up and says, caption this photo, and you guys on the Patreon page.
Really funny.
It was hilarious. Like, because they're both wearing, I haven't seen, Lou Ferrigno's hair is all crazy, and he's got the pants on, and they both.
The wig.
And Thor is shorter. It just looks like, he doesn't look that big and
like
strong.
There wasn't a lot of costume design back then. It was like, we'll just kind of make this look like Asgardian armor somehow.
Yeah, they just went into wherever they shot that, Universal or Warner Brothers, and they just went in the wardroom and went, I don't know, is this hat fit? There you go, put that on.
Was there a Valkyrie in some musical somewhere? Can we just give that to Thor?
So, yeah, that was... So more of those. I love reading those. Thank
so
you
yeah, and there'll be more of those on the Patreon too.
Yeah,
and we love to read your comments for sure.
Coming out this week,
kind of a big movie coming out this week.
Yeah, the Chuck Wepner story. Everyone's really getting excited for Chuck Wepner's story. hats off to Lev Schreiber for telling the story of the real Rocky.
Yep, can't wait to see it.
And we're all probably going to watch it on a streaming service because we will be at Guardians of the Galaxy 2 this weekend.
Neil already has his tickets. There'll be a review as soon as possible, and we are so excited to see this movie. I cannot wait for this movie.
We've talked about we're going to do a spoiler rep. Mm-hmm.
But the early reviews seem extremely positive on it too.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah,
I think the combination of first of all Marvel in general just knows what they're doing.
Yeah,
and they got the first one so right.
So right.
And established it in such a great way that they know, like, they'd have to really go out of their way to screw it up.
To screw it up.
They'd have
to,
like, abandon everything they did correctly and just... It would be like a sports team, like a football team that's like got a great receivers and a great quarterback and go, all right, now we're going to, we just won the Super Bowl. Let's run the ball. Let's hand it to our running back who's not that great. Like, I think this is, I'm so fired.
James Gunn knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
This is going to be fantastic.
And now there's actually Disneyland, they're opening the ride to correspond.
Yeah, that's right.
With,
yeah.
This is the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror is no more. It's now a Guardians of the Galaxy kind of drop. Ride,
yeah.
So they just repaint.
They rethemed it pretty much. Next time we go, we'll have to try the Guardians of the Galaxy drop ride.
So instead of hearing that guy do that, you're entering the Twilight Zone. You're just gonna be like Groot, and then you just drop.
Yeah, then you just drop.
Do not push this button. Uh oh.
Yeah. All right, got it.
So that's it. That's where we'll be this weekend.
That's our
Same
show.
Place
we'll be
as
Guardians
you guys.
Of the Galaxy. We'll all be dressed up as Groot.
Yep.
Episode 368. I think that's it.
It's in the books.
Lock it down.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Byrne, where can people find you on the World Wide Web? Tour dates, comedy sketchings.
Craigslist. Groupon. Gold Star. No, Steve Byrne Live. Everything is Steve Byrne Live. BYRNELIVE. I'll be touring a lot. And yeah, that's it.
And the name of your special again?
Tell the Damn Joke.
And that's available?
On Showtime. You can stream it now.
And the name of your documentaries?
The doc that's coming out is called China Hustle. And then the doc I did with Jonathan is Always Amazing.
Oh, wow.
Because it was, he referred to Letterman introducing him as Always Amazing. And he said that was it, my life set. And we thought, maybe a good title.
Wow. So, yeah. That's awesome.
Well, when that's done and out, let us know. And then
absolutely,
we'll
you guys can butcher
sure
it.
Steve Byrne is an asshole. Yeah. Can't wait to crucify your movie.
It took me 3 days to watch.
Yeah. I'm going to make it 2 hours and 12 minutes.
Yes.
Has Steve Byrne ever seen a film? Does he know what he's doing? What did he edit it on? His fucking Palm Pilot? which they have great editing software in the Palm Pilot.
But thank you guys for having me. It was great to hang.
Yeah, man. Thanks for being on the show. Yeah. Really, we've been trying to get you on for a while, so this is great. Mm-hmm. And
he also has a podcast on this very network.
Oh, The Gentleman's Dojo with Gary Cannon. Yeah.
Oh,
cool.
Gary Cannon. It's basically... We have guests, but he just shits on me the whole time. So that's the
that's the purpose of the show.
Yeah, he just shits on me constantly. Yeah,
I like the title of that.
Yeah,
outstanding. So listen to Gentleman's Dojo. I will be May 10th. I'm going to be one of the comedians on the All Things Comedy Presents at the Comedy Store, which will be awesome. I think it's like Bill Burr, Bert Kreischer, Jackie Cation, Christina Pazinski. It's a fantastic lineup. I think it's might already be close to sold out. If not,
great.
It's sold
main
out.
Room, right?
Main room. Mm-hmm. I haven't been in the Comedy Store in 15 years.
Wow.
And I've never performed on the main room.
Oh, you haven't?
I've only done the original room and the belly room. Mm-hmm. So this is, I'm excited.
Main stage.
This is it. Mm-hmm. Last, you know, and everyone tells me it's a lot different from when you were there in the 90s.
Yes, I'm sure.
So, that's where I'll be May 10th. And then... go to patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds.
Yes.
Earbuds is for sale. LA Podfest is October 6th through the 8th. Tickets still on sale, of course. The hotel rooms are going fast. Mm-hmm. Bill Burr and Bert Kreischer are in the festival. We've announced a bunch of others. So go to lapodfest.com. Mm-hmm. Check that out.
Definitely. And also with the Patreon, like I said, we have that ad tier. So if you want your name and URL of your business mentioned on every show, that's the $50 tier on Patreon.
Yes. And join my YouTube show, The Political Vigilante. Hear me rant and rave against the system.
The establishment.
The establishment.
I love you, Graham. You're my favorite.
Thanks.
Of all of them.
All right,
my favorite opinions. I love you. China.
That is our show.
That's our show. Steve is doing an impression of a creepy fan.
Yes.
And we want to thank everybody at All Things Comedy. Thank you to Aaron. Did you bring in the R this week? Is it Brungard or did you leave it off?
Oh, it's there.
All right.
It's not going anywhere.
It should be silent. Mm-hmm. Or you should put it differently. It should be Bung Grart.
No, there should never be Bung in the name.
Let's try something different.
Yeah.
Aaron Brungart, ladies and gentlemen, moving his R around.
Freely.
Freely. I don't think you should. I don't like how he moves his R around. But
it keeps his D right where it should be.
That's
damn right. Yeah.
Always to the left. Always to the left.
That's our show. My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.